her to return with Naomi to Bethlehem, right? There's no logic to it. There's no logic. Now, when Mahlon and Chilion came down to Moab and got married, it was kind of like an escape for her. Moab is a wicked place. They're offering up babies on child sacrifice. It's a wicked place. It's amazing that Ruth even survived to be a young girl to be married. And here she is. She's gotten chosen to be married. It seems like God has kind of pulled her out a little bit. And I kind of, when I'm thinking about this today and going over this, I was thinking, you remember when you first got saved? Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, right? When God draws you and pulls you unto Himself, it's an amazing day. You know what I mean? You've heard about the gospel. You've heard one's planted, one's watered. But I'm talking about when God gives the increase, when God pulls you, right? Because you can't get saved without Jesus. Amen? And you can't even explain it. I've seen some people who, you know, I've seen them come, all they didn't remember coming. All they remember is stepping out, or they remember one part of it, next thing you know, and then they're overwhelmed. I like to say, it doesn't have to be that way, but you see an overwhelming in most cases. But a lot of times we don't know what we get. We don't totally understand what we got. Amen? It's like being birthed in the physical. You know, it's an emotional day. Y'all can get that later. But you don't really understand what all entails. You start to kind of grow into this thing, right? You kind of grow. Well, you know, Ruth made a decision on the street, back to Moab or we're going to Bethlehem, you know? And it's a choice. And it didn't help, but her sister made a rational decision, right? Orpah said, yeah, I'm going back home. I've got more chances of success and future in Moab. I can get married. I can have a family, etc. If I go with Naomi and if I go with God, I don't know. I don't know what the future looks like. Matter of fact, there's nothing, really. There's no promise. But when you're being drawn by God, I wish I could teach this to every kid, every person that's 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, 13 years old, 17, 18-year-old people who are sitting there going, could I totally trust God my whole life? Could I really lean into God and give Him everything? I want to scream it to the top of my lungs. Please do. Please trust Him. Please put everything on Him. He can handle it. You know what I mean? She said something like, now where you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die. Your God is my God. Your people, my people. Amen? What an amazing thought. Somebody can't look down the road and see what it is, but says, you know what? I'm going all in with God. And it don't make any sense. I don't think God will do it. I don't know. God's bigger than me and better than me. But there's a couple of places in the scriptures that I would love for God to let me watch it over again. This is one of them. I would have loved to watch the walk with Ruth and Naomi back to Bethlehem. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? You know those times when you're on the road, maybe with your spouse or with your family, and you really don't know. You dad's just zoned in. You know. Can we stop here? Like, yeah, just a few more minutes. Yeah, so I'm the only one, I guess. Next exit. Right? Everybody else is doing their thing, but you know, there's anticipation, especially when you're going somewhere or you're going back, you're anticipating, right? Naomi's anticipating bitterness, return like defeat. I went out full. I came back empty. That's what she says. Ain't that amazing? But when she left, they were leaving during a famine. Didn't have anything. You might want to write that. I always write that down when I'm thinking about that. Don't call that too soon. You know, this is the worst time of my life. Well, in 3 years from now, you might be going, that was the best time. You know what I mean? Didn't have anything, didn't have stuff, but guess what? We had each other, right? I had my two boys and my husband, right? Walking back in to Bethlehem. And then, you know, then you just carving out a little niche here and there. Everything's a blessing, right? Get to work on this corner of the field, kind of moved in. I'm blessed. All right, yay. And then just next thing is you're down there and I love Ruth, this place, this intimate part of the relationship between her and Boaz where she sits down at the hem of his garment, right? She just done everything in reverse. Let's change that. She started over every time just the same way. On the edge of the road, going into Bethlehem. On the edge of the field, into the field. On the edge of Boaz, I'm going to work my way in, right? Is that good? Y'all making sense? Does that make sense? It's a repetitive process. Just don't be afraid to start over. Don't be afraid to be like, hey, I don't know everything. I'll just kind of get right on the edge here, and I'll let God exalt me, right? I won't do the exalt. I won't do the lifting up. I'll let God do the lifting up. Amen? And he'll exalt me in due time, right? In his time. And I love that good, that rich Naomi. Just go in there, just sit down, don't act a fool, right? Just go in there and behave, right? Just sit right at the feet of Boaz. Boaz woke up, didn't even know it was dark. It was late. He'd been working and it was a party, it was a celebration. The feast was, or the harvest was. So then, you know, he sends her home loaded. I'm sorry I'm giving y'all everybody this. We probably don't need to do that Bible study because we're doing it all right now. I see her coming back to Naomi. It's dark. You can't recognize each other. I think he was doing that to protect her. But like she's going through the streets, you know, of Bethlehem. And she's loaded down with barley, man. But smells like beet. Barley smells like wheat. Just loaded down. I mean, they're just putting it everywhere on top of her head, however she can carry it. And she walks in, and she's like, "Woof! He loaded me down. He blessed me. And he said something about redeeming me." And then that Naomi's like, yeah, this is it. This is what we've been doing right here. This is the whole thing right here. Just wait. Just wait on him. This is what I want to kind of talk about. Is there some things that God can only do, right? There's something, you know, you can do your work. You can get on the edge and work your way in. You can be faithful. You can be, but there's some things God's got to work out. Amen? He said there's a nearer kinsman. Let's jump in there. I'm sorry. I just, y'all all know this book so well. And I just kind of wore y'all out with that. But can y'all tell I love this story? I love it. I mean, you know, the reason I love it is because it's exactly how God usually works in our lives. You rarely get a huge, huge blowaway miracle. You do. And you rarely get God just speaking from the heavens. You rarely get this. But you do get God just putting people in and out of your lives. Amen. You do get God, like you make a decision, you feel like God's really pressing you over here, and you make a decision, and God just adds right to it, right? That's kind of how it works for me, you know? And I see that more than anything. So when I see this story, I'm like, man, I'm glad God didn't just come out of a cloud and say, hey, Ruth, get to Bethlehem. Because that's not the way it works. I mean, can I just stop right there for a minute? I'm just teaching with you guys, if it's okay. Y'all should be used to me by now, right? Just think about this. Think about some things that are going on in your life right now. Do you have any major things that are coming up in the next month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? Are you talking to God about it? Have you said anything like this? Hey, God, if you really want me to do that, make it clear. Right? God, if you really want me to do this next thing, make that clear. I do that a lot. My favorite thing, some of the counselors probably know this, my thing is, God, if you want me to do it, make it easy. Right? Because I don't like busting my head against things and then being like, man, God really blessed us with that van right there. What'd you do? I had to sell two of my kids took a note out and I did some other things and maybe we'll get it paid off in 25 years and I don't know. Man, God really blessed y'all with that. Yeah, it's our bus. Boy, I love that thing. You know, it's not true. God was probably putting somebody in here, do not buy, do not purchase, do not get, you know? But as example, but there's been times where, you know, you just, hey, God walked up, hey, you want these keys to this bus? That's God right there. Yeah, I'll take that, right? All right, so I don't know why I just love this stuff, don't y'all? I don't know if we're going to get all of chapter 4 in tonight now that I've talked for 20 minutes on something else. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake, come by unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here, and turn aside. And he sat down, and he sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee and I after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day that thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this is a very it's a sweet, sweet picture of Jesus and Adam. Okay? I want to draw that out, but I'm not going to draw it out tonight. But it's a beautiful picture of who Jesus is and who Adam is. Adam is our nearest kinsman. Amen? He is. It's our human. It's almost like when I seen this a couple months ago and looked at it again, and every time I read it, I see like Jesus and Adam sitting down, right? Hey, sit down here, you know. And he goes, all right, what I want you to do is I want you to take all the good things about Kevin. You put your name in there. I want you to take all the good things. All right, put your name right there, okay? And well, I don't know what's good about you, but maybe you got some good stuff, okay? All right, when he heard this, hey, Naomi's got some land down here, and she needs that to be redeemed. And all he heard was free land. All he heard was yes, right? And that's kind of our flesh. That's our flesh nature. That's Adam. That he could do that. He could take the good, right? I'll take that. That'll help me. Okay, right? But then he said, the moment you take that, you must take Ruth, the Moabitess. All he heard was Moabite, right? That's all he heard was Moabite. All he heard was, I can't mess up who I am. Amen? I can't take that on my name. I can't put that in my family. Y'all need to put that right there. I can't put Ruth in my family. I cannot put Kevin in my family. I cannot put your name in my family. Amen? You need to hear that. Because there's no, your nearest redeemer, can I say it this way? I want y'all to get this. Let this sink in. It's you. You couldn't redeem yourself. All right? The first man, us, we can't, there's nothing we can do. We want to take all the good. We want to be, yes, the good. I will promote good, project good, say good. But the moment it says, hey, let's take all the bad with it, we can't do anything with the bad. But let me say it this way. We can't pay for our sin. We can't. Amen? I love that. He goes, oh, I can't. You take it. And I love Boaz. He knew who she was. Oh, I was a preacher. He knew who she was from the beginning. He had already, do you like that? I love this right here. He had already told Ruth the night before that he was going to redeem her. He already knew the first kinsman would not. Aren't you glad that Jesus was already planning to save you when he went from the beginning? He was ready to take you as a bride from the beginning. He wasn't going to, he knew there's no other way. I just love the conversation. I love they're sitting there. And he knew, Boaz knew the whole time, he's not going to take the hit. Listen, we're going to go back at the end of this, and I'm going to kind of clear up why. Boaz didn't mind taking the hit. Jesus doesn't mind taking the hit of you being on his namesake. Whew. I don't know why that's true. I'm just glad it's true. Right? I don't know why. I don't have the wherewithal to say, man, I deserve. No, I don't know why, but I'm glad. Right? Let's get into this. This is the kind of new stuff that God showed me, and the kind of the reason we're going through it again, I guess. Then the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it. I mar my inheritance. Verse 7. Now this was the manner. This is where you go over in Deuteronomy 25, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay, I'm not going to go over there. I'm just saying if you want to later on. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to the neighbor, and this was a testimony to Israel. Okay, so when he took that shoe off, what he was saying when he took that shoe off and gave it to him is kind of a weird custom, but what he was saying in that, he was saying, I will never step foot back on that property or your property ever again. It's yours. I will never, man, this is so good. I will never come back and say, hey, I changed my mind. Golly, y'all need to write. That's good, okay? That's rich stuff. Nobody else has got a claim on you. No, man, if you ever bought property, if you ever bought anything like that, you have to do a search, a title search. Golly, man, this is so good. You have to do a title search. And they look to see if somebody else has got a lien on it. Man, I'm about to shout. I don't know if y'all get this right here. This is heavy stuff. But every claim that Adam had on you, every claim that was wrong with you, when he pushed it over to Boaz, when he handed him that sandal, he said, that's yours. I got no other claim. You'll never see me again. Whew. Listen, can I do it this way for you? We give, a lot of times in this world, we give more homage, we give more oomph, we give more whatever to Adam than we do Jesus. Okay, put it this way. Some people will believe, well, man, you've sinned your whole life, you know what I'm saying? And you've been born a sinner, I don't know, you know, and Jesus died on the cross, but, you know, you felt you've done something else, you messed up. Now, we never talk about, did Adam's sin cause us to be sinners? Yes. So, through one man's disobedience, death reigned. Is that true? Is that what the scripture says in Romans chapter 5? Through one man's disobedience, sin reigned. But then it said through one man's obedience, right? Jesus' obedience is greater than what Adam did. Some people get on to me a lot of times, well, I can't believe you believe that you just keep your salvation and you're once saved always. I look at him out of life. I said, listen, because every time God says it, he says it's a gift. He says it's a gift. It's not a reward. It's not something I earn. If it would, he'd say, a reward, a reward, a reward. But the greatest thing about it is, it tells you right there. He says, look, there's nothing you can... When you put your trust and faith in Jesus and what he did at Calvary, see, Adam, when he sinned, he covered himself with a tree. Did you know that? When Jesus died on the cross, he uncovered himself on a tree. He exposed. He said, look, I'm dying. There's no more guilt and shame and death in this. I'm going to be obedient to the cross. Man, that's amazing. Well, see, God had to come looking for Adam. Jesus says, I'm right here dying for the sins of the whole world. His obedience. I just trust more in what Jesus did than what I did what Adam did. That's all it is. That's all it comes down to. You get this all the time, and Paul says it best. So you can just do whatever you want to? God forbid, right? You can just sin any way you want to, that's what you believe? Nope. If you're telling people you got saved and you can live any old way and it don't bother you, you didn't get the real deal. You didn't get saved. You have a profession instead of possession. But what happens when you truly get saved, God moves in. It's, you know, I say this a lot, it's an inside job. God gets in here, and then all of a sudden, you've got the Holy Ghost of God on the inside of you, redirecting, relining, and re-speaking into your life. And if you don't have that, you need to check up, right? Because I'm going to be honest with you, you know this, I've probably said this too many times. Man, sin, man, my sin's the worst sin in the world. When I come in, I don't look for everybody else messing up. Man, when I mess up, man, God tells me right away, that's messed up. And there's like several levels to that. Right? Y'all got the first one is just a warning, stop. The next one is silence. And the next one past that is punishment. And there is punishment in Christ Jesus, and it's good punishment. There ain't nothing sweeter than a father who will correct. Man, that's good. Thank you. That's good. I needed to hear that too. I don't know why, but I did. All right, let's go a little bit further. Therefore the kinsman said, watch this right here, unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, you are a witness this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion and Mahlon's in the hand of Naomi. I want y'all to know this. This is another thing. A little when you go to Deuteronomy 25 and you look up there in the Hebrew and the Greek, when you take those words apart, you know that man has to change his name. The one that didn't redeem him, and it literally comes out in the Hebrew and Greek is what's his face? What's his face? I think that was the coolest thing I've done in the Bible in a long time. But then you know what I mean. If you're anywhere over 40, you'll know exactly what I'm about to tell you. If you ever had a conversation with you and your wife, you're sitting there talking about somebody, and you say, yeah, what's his face, right? If y'all don't do that, wait, it's coming, right? What's his face, right? Ain't that cool? When God redeems us, when Boaz redeemed her, they say, who was the other nearest redeemer? Who was the other kinsman? What's his face? Don't matter. Amen? Don't really matter. I did it. Amen? We don't talk about Adam. We don't talk about our past. We don't talk about who we were. Not when it comes to salvation. We're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Ain't that cool? Who are you before that? I was a what's-his-face. It's a what's-his-face. Man, I thought that was the neatest thing. When I was sitting there, I'm like, man, that is cool. When you dig around, you'll find some cool stuff, right? Let's go a little bit further. I want to get somewhere, really. I do. Verse 10, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. With all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come to thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephrathah. Be famous in Bethlehem. This is the part where I was talking about earlier when I like to get with every young person who's thinking about really selling out to Christ. I guarantee you Ruth never thought when she was leaving Moab that she would be mentioning the names of the two of the greatest women in the history of Israel, right? I bet you when she was leaving, she was thinking, if I get up there, maybe we can just make a good living, me and my mother-in-law. Right? Maybe if I just get up there, we can just eke out an existence. I want to tell you this, and I want you to hear what I'm saying. There is no eking out an existence in Christ Jesus. If you really sell out to God and you really want Him and really love Him, He will use your life beyond the measure that you thought He would do. You might think small, but He does not think small. And sometimes when you're thinking small, it's not small. Amen? Sometimes when you think, well, I only talked to so-and-so today, or I only talked to this person, or I only got a hold of that person, or I only reached out to so many Christ. You never know what's happening. Man, God, and there's a lot of theologians who preach this different than I do, and I really don't care that they're wrong. I want to say this. God, some people say, well, it was a mistake for them to go down to Moab. That's crazy. God reached down into Moab and took Ruth out. There was no mistake. How do you get a mistake out of the only person that's going to be in the lineage of Christ out of the whole story, and it's just a mistake? Oh, we just randomly, the famine hit. We just chose Moab. It was a big mistake. We all died. No, God was saying, look, through this, I'm going to pick somebody who I need in my family. Because in Christ, in your family, there's some things that run through your family. You know what runs through Jesus' family? People like Ruth who say, you know what? It is bad, but I don't give up on you. That's what's in Jesus' lineage. It's bad. Everybody died. I should quit. I should give up. I should walk away, but I'm not. I'm going with you. That's in the lineage of Jesus. So sometimes in this thing, because you're in the lineage of Christ, if you're born again, there's going to be sometimes when you're going to lean in and go anyway and do it in support anyway and be there anyway, and you're going to be like, man, why am I doing this? Because the blood runs through you too. Ain't that cool? I love stuff. I love everybody that's in the book. I love everybody that's in the lineage of Jesus. And he just picks them, puts them, plugs them right in. Oh, I wouldn't have put him in. I wouldn't have put her in. I wouldn't have put, no, but you know what? God will. God will. God will put him. And you would think, man, this is the most insignificant. God, preach everything I know on this. I told you I don't want to see this. The most insignificant walk in history to most people was a walk from a little girl from Moab to Bethlehem. And I see it, man. I see it in her eyes. I see her looking at Naomi going, you might be bitter now, but there's better things coming. You know what I mean? You might think everybody's giving up on you, but I ain't giving up on you. I don't believe God's giving up on you either. I always like preaching about Naomi too, because what kind of person would stick with somebody? She had to have faith in God. She had to have a big God too. Even though all the pain that she had, you lose your husband and your two sons, you're going to be a miserable person. But in that, Ruth still looked at her and said, you still got God. I see God in you anyway. Man, I hope, I just wrote that down on myself. Man, I hope when I'm hurting, I'm mad, aggravated, frustrated, somebody could say, I still see some God in you. You know what I mean? Because it's easy when God's blowing you up and he's sitting you up on the top, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. But when you're hurting real bad and you want to say things you want to say and you want to do things you want to do and you still be like, you know, I would do that, but like, you know, I still love Jesus. No, we can be real, right? Because there's some times when you get mad, frustrated, hurt, or you don't know what's going on, and you believe God's kind of missing an action on that thing, but he's not. And you think, well, I was about to say something, but I didn't. You know, because you know what? You're still reverencing God. Call me Mara. Remember? Call me Mara. Because God has dealt this way with me. She said it was me. It was my fault. Must have been me. Whew. Oh, glory. I love this stuff. And let the house of Lachphares, who Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that is the name, and may be famous in Israel. Verse 15, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee. God's good. Which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. The perfect family in this time of Jewish history is seven kids. If they had seven sons, he would just be like, perfect family. But you know, she said, your daughter-in-law loves you. Amen. If you can get one person to love you and support you like that in your life, you're a rich person. Amen. You're a rich person. But then you get that on top of it. They come back and they praise her and say, she's better than seven sons. If God was to completely bless you with a perfect family, it wouldn't get no better than Ruth. Whew. Man, at the end of your life, don't you want to say, man, I hope I can hold on and finish well like that. At any time, Ruth could have wavered, but she didn't. She just kept going. We're not done yet. This is so good. This is the richest part. This gets rich upon rich upon rich. All right? And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed, and is the father of Jesse, the father of David. She did not only have a king in her lineage, but she had the King of Kings in her lineage, and she didn't even know it. I kind of want to finish here because this is kind of cool. Now these are the generations of Phares, and Phares begot Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amadab. And Amadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. Now here's a hero. Y'all want to take his name and underline it, Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Salmon is married to... It's not in this lineage. It's in Matthew chapter 1. Rahab. The harlot. When the walls fell down to Jericho, Rahab walked out of the walls of Jericho as a former prostitute. Salmon was stricken by God to fall in love with somebody who was a former prostitute in the walls of Jericho. And I could just see it. I know y'all might see it differently, but Rahab walks out dust covered. Got her whole family with her, though. Convinced her whole family to get in. This is my family, and we're just so happy to be here, and we're just glad we're just going to go with you guys. We heard about the Lord, and I ain't going to tell you how I heard about him. Y'all get that later. Y'all probably heard this story before. I ain't going to tell you how I heard about it. Someone goes, sis, I don't know what it is, but I think I'm in love with you. Mr. Salmon, no, you don't need somebody like me. No, God's put it in my heart. I want you. I fell in love with you the minute the walls fell down in your life. I want to be with you. I want to marry you. Well, let's walk it out. Let's walk it out a while. We'll see. Because some of my family might tell you who I really am. Amen. Come on, y'all like that? Some of my family might tell you who I really am. When all the excitement settles down, somebody in the family is going to be like, hey, you know what you did for a living, right? Yeah, come on. But guess what? Salmon begot. He married Rahab. And I got this crazy picture in my mind of Rahab holding Boaz when he's a baby, rocking him, saying, Boaz, when you grow up, I want you to remember, if there ever is strangers come into our nation, love them. Love them like your daddy loved me. Because your daddy didn't have to love me. But he seen past who I was into who I could be. And see, that's in the lineage of Christ too. Not only does he have Ruth, who will hang in there with you when everybody else gives up, but he can also look and see who you are in him instead of who you were in the world. I could just see him. I just got a feeling, son, that one day God's going to bring a woman into your life that nobody else wants. Don't be afraid to marry her because she can turn out to be somebody really special. And if you'll go back to chapter 1 of Ruth, he rode up into the field. And he looked and he goes, who is that? Who is that woman working in my field? That's Ruth the Moabitess. He goes, I know what my daddy would do. And I know what my mama told me to do. I think that might be the one for me. Let me put it this way. When God seen you, he seen somebody that nobody else wanted and nobody else could redeem. And he said, I know what Rahab would say, and I know what Salmon would say, and I know what Ruth would do. I think I'll redeem them. Amen. I think I'll redeem them. Let's all stand.